thought leader and influencer. This is Luba Mayegiso and the Africa Report.
Luba, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Really?
This morning, as we head into, well, as we've just headed into December, 2nd of December, I thought we would take the opportunity and look back on 2020 and specifically the reflect on what COVID-19 has done to us and has done to so many areas of our lives. And I wanted your thoughts on that.
Howard, it's been interesting for me because I've had an opportunity to be both in Cape Town and do a lot of traveling, you know, around Free State, Limpopo, and Gauteng. But if I think I start, let's say, with the most recent, you know, last night I had an opportunity to attend a prize giving at our son's school. He just turned 10. And I was quite amazed at how I think the kids have managed to take this in their stride. You know, remember, he's the same chap who was called Mr. COVID the other week. And, and some school kids said he wished he would die. And I saw him play afterwards with the same boy as if nothing had happened. And, you know, I watched the whole prize giving, the grades they got, you know, consistently throughout the year. And I got the sense watching them that for 10-year-olds, it was different, but it didn't faze them. It didn't shake them. They just continued, you know, they just adapted to it fairly quickly and seamlessly. And that was my take when looking at the kids. Yes, it was inconvenient, but life continued for them fairly smoothly, I must say. I think for older kids, matric and high school, it was probably a bit more turbulent than I would say for the younger ones. But what also struck me was just the variation in service and how people adjusted to it. You know, hotels were clamoring about wanting travelers to come back and, you know, guests to come in. And when they did, I found some of them acquitted themselves well, but a lot of them were just shoddy. You know, in most of my travels, and I've traveled, let's say, twice a month, you know, every second week. And I've stayed in hotels in Cape Town, in Joburg, and, you know, in Pretoria and Bloem. And the service has been interesting. You know, I think people are too quick to hide behind COVID. You know, you get to a hotel at 8 o'clock and there's no food. And they tell you that, sorry, sir, we closed for, you know, you can check in, but you can't order any food. And when you ask why, it's because of COVID. I was in Melrose last week. And I looked at a bar menu and I was told, this is where you have a dinner. I walked in there and it was literally a quarter of a bar menu. You know, your little sliders. That's all you could get and this and that. And I said, this is for dinner. Where's the rest of the menu? Oh no, sir, it's COVID. I said, okay, fine. So I'll have a drink. You know, do you guys offer any peanuts, biltong? Oh no, we don't. So somehow COVID is almost being used as giving really shoddy service. And I'm saying to guys, no, I mean, if I'm paying a price and I'm staying at a hotel, why must I be rushing back to the hotel if I want a decent meal to be there by 7? Because by 8 o'clock, the kitchen is closed and I can't get any food. Whereas on the other side, you'd get a hotel saying, oh, you can check out as late as you want. And simple requests like, can I have a slice of lemon? I get told, no, we can't slice the lemon. And I would say, why? Because of COVID. So you sit there, you say, really, COVID almost becomes an excuse for almost everything, Howard, for poor service. And so, you know, it's been varied. I would look at, for instance, the people that I would meet in government. And at first, I think online meetings were really cool and we could save time. But I think they've become a terrible nuisance. I belong to a group, for instance, in the Christian community, and people started having one or two meetings every Thursday. Then it became every Thursday. And then I would actually sit and say, but is there something to discuss? Or because it's easy to facilitate, we're holding a meeting. And, you know, the most shocking one, I think the last week I was in the Free State, I walked into one hospital CEO's office, and almost wherever I go, somebody's stuck in a Zoom or a conference call. And they'll
exactly
be like,
right.
I'll talk to you. So he walk away from his desk and his computer's on. And he will talk to you and in between trying to listen to that. I walked into an HOD's office. He had two laptops on. two simultaneous meetings that he was trying to take part in.
Wow.
And, you know, I'd flown from here to Joburg and then driven to Bloom, and I only had 10 minutes with the guy because he couldn't wrestle himself away. And we'd already scheduled because I'd arrived on Wednesday and he couldn't see me because he was stuck for the next 4 hours. And I just get the sense, because I kept saying to people, are you more productive? And all of them were saying, not really. You know, when COVID lockdown started, Zoom meeting saved us time of driving to meetings and all of these issues. But right now,
and they gave us an alternative. They gave us an alternative, which I think was important.
An alternative,
but unfortunately, the price or the price we pay for that wasn't something we realized. And it's actually very, very interesting because I've literally just published an article on News 24. I've also published it to my own website because I recognize that not everybody subscribes to News 24. And I actually address this exact issue, Luba, because it's a very serious problem, certainly, that I'm seeing. And I just want to go to what I've said here. I said, as head of marketing and people at a technology company, part of my function is to understand, what challenges extreme remote working has presented. And whereas obviously there were the obvious ones of alienation, loneliness, communication were expected, what I observed in the last few months is the inability to connect from work was more of an issue than almost any other factor. People felt that whereas in the past they might have taken their work home with them, they now feel as though they're in fact living at work. The consequence on the short term is improved, increased productivity, but very soon switches to fatigue, exhaustion, burnout, unhappiness, and immense frustration, all of which benefits no one. In short, people feel trapped by this remote working business. So we think that it gives us this incredible freedom to be able to do everything online and have all of these Zoom meetings, but actually it can do us damage if we don't balance it.
Absolutely, Howard. You know, there's something to be said with me looking you in the eyeball and sitting across you.
Mm-hmm.
We can have a short meeting, but I can also gauge how you feel and what you think about something, because what started to happen now is that you're switching your camera off. So effectively, you put your laptop there, you switch the camera off and the speaker's on, and you carry on working on something else. So technically, you're present at the meeting, but in reality, you're not even engaged. Until somebody says, Howard, what's your input? Mm, and then we have to call you twice because you're absent-minded. And I think that for me has become the issue, that we've abused it. You know, in the past, you might drive from Chai to, let's say, Melrose. And, you know, let's say you've got 10, 20 minutes driving time. The meeting would be so long, you'd get back. Because I don't have to build in time for lunch, for driving, I think I can just schedule a 3-hour meeting.
Well, I have to tell you, that's actually quite funny that you say this without you knowing. I've actually now had to schedule in driving time because otherwise I'm so back to back with meetings, Zoom meetings, that I don't even have time to drive from one place to another. It's absurd.
And the way they get rolled over, I mean, I had a video conference call with some guys from Israel yesterday. It was scheduled for 11. Then I was told, okay, let's do this thing at 1 o'clock. And then just before 1, I was told, can we do 1:30? And then eventually I had to say, no, guys, sorry. My day is not just blank waiting for you guys, because had this been a face-to-face meeting, I wouldn't be subjected to this very, you know, quick, let's shuffle, let's move it back. Mm-hmm. And I said, eventually I had to say, no. You don't have to pick a time tomorrow. Today's not going to work. But I can't just sit at limbo and be expectant that you'll call. And even if you're driving, people have no understanding. So often someone would call and I'd say, you know, it's Sunday, I'm driving somewhere. You could at least have called me and said to me, Luba, can we chat in half an hour? Because right now what's happening is you'll have a client calling you. When you pick up the phone on WhatsApp, you realize you're already in a conference call. So two or three people think, well, let's call Howard. And I'm saying, but what happened to the nicety of saying, Howard, are you available, you know, tomorrow at this particular time? Now I just literally just initiate a conference call. And you sound almost as if you're uncaring if you're saying to people, look, this is a bad time. I'm getting into a left or I'm driving and the reception is bad. So I just think some basic decency and etiquette has gone out the window. But, you know, take an interesting one about the traveling. Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Luba?
Sorry, about traveling. In the past, you know, I think we're even losing manners. When I've been flying, you know, initially there were these COVID health questionnaires that had to be filled. And I always laugh because it assumes that we South Africans are very honest. It asks you, in contact with somebody, tested, and I thought, wow. And often people say to me, if you put yes, you're not flying or you're not going in. But what I've observed is that in the past, you'd get into a flight and there'd be, you would be willing as a gentleman to help a lady hoist her luggage into the overhead locker. But today you're told don't touch anything. So you kind of sit there and you say, do I watch somebody struggle with the bag because I'm told don't touch? Or does chivalry and being a gentleman say no? You know, if I've got gloves on or I've got a sanitizer, I should be able to help somebody. If an elderly lady striding down the stairs and carrying a suitcase because airline staff are going to fold their arms and watch, do I also stand back and fold my arms? And these are, for me, are the issues about just our, you know, our behavior, our conduct, ethics and morality. You know, do you not help anymore? You know, somebody falls in front of you. Do you just sit back?
It's such an interesting observation. You know, I was, I happened to be at a hospital yesterday, and when I left, a person in a hospital gown and a mask seemed to be falling over a little bit, and I rushed over to help them, and then as I did so, I thought, oh my word, should I be doing, now they were outside the hospital, I'm assuming that they weren't a COVID patient, because otherwise they wouldn't be outside in the parking area, but as I did that, that was exactly the thought that went through my mind. I should have maybe stifled my need or my urge to help somebody rather and just taken a step back and pretended I didn't notice and wait for the hospital staff to help for exactly that reason. Luckily, I didn't have time. I didn't actually process it. So I did what I did. But it was interesting to see how that thought now has become part of our psyche.
But it's sad, Howard, because the question then becomes, let's say in 6 months or a year's time, we get past this pandemic, what will we have become? Will it be now acceptable to say, sorry, if the lady drops something, well, too bad, she's picking it up. You know, if you trip and fall, you know, Cassie told me she saw, had a situation where a lady just fell at the top of an escalator. The pram went one way and the lady went one way, but instinctively, She went down and picked up the pram and, you know, rummaged through the pram to check if the baby was okay, got the pram upright, but without thinking, because that was the instinct. But then she checked herself and said, what do I do? Do I leave this lady? If the lady's lying on her back there, do you just let this infant fall? And I think for me, yes, there is the risk of infection, but I think our humanity cannot disappear in the process. You know, even for getting out of this flight, it's become so jumbled. You fly SFA and they tell you you must exit two rows at a time. So now there's a mad scramble that when I book a flight, I either make sure I sit in the very front or the very back because you exit from both sides. But then I flew Mango last time. And Mango, fly SFA, they'll shepherd you out. They'll kind of usher you out to the hostesses. Mango, sit at the front. And they just say, well, one row at a time, you sort yourselves. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, are you really expecting South Africans to behave? And I think we're changing, Howard, and I think not always for the better. You know, I made this joke to you last time about how much do we know about the disease, because the view was if someone is contagious, they, you know, has tested positive, they're contagious, don't do X, Y, Z. So at home, when the two members tested positive, I mean, the question I asked myself is, how do they eat? Yes, we self-isolated, but I still found I was perfectly safe walking into their room. I'd put a mask on and gloves. I would make food and bring the food to them. And I would check that they're fine and do whatever I'd need to do for them and then exit the room. But, you know, if I told that to health authorities, I'd be told, no, you can't even go in. But the question then is, how does a person eat? And I still found that our phobia sometimes just runs away with us. But I must say, as an aside, though, what has been amusing in our household is that the people who saw they've got the best immune system, who would put a rabbit and a ghost to shame in eating salads and greens and popping vitamin pills, were the ones that you know, that caught the virus. And those of us who were deemed less healthy specimens because we ate too much red meat and we didn't eat enough salads, somehow survived. So that's still a thorny issue at home.
Yeah, it's just so fascinating when we think about it, because we really, the year has changed us. And I wonder, what you're pointing out is that it hasn't changed us for the good. I wonder about that. I wonder if it hasn't brought both of those aspects in, because like when we saw, when we see what people have done in terms of charities, in terms of reaching out for people, in terms of trying to assist others, that is good stuff. So, and I don't want to. Yes, I guess that's right. I'm trying to distinguish between the two, and maybe you're right. Maybe that is the way in which we have been prepared to reach out. I'd love your thoughts on it on 34519. That's the SMS line. It is working only intermittently, so you can send us an SMS or you can email us on air at chaifm.com. I'd love your thoughts. Have we improved or have we deteriorated as far as our humanity is concerned in 2020? Nebuchadnezzar, your thoughts? I know you had that look to say, don't pick me, don't pick me.
I did.
Don't ask me, because give me your thoughts.
I have none.
You have none?
Yeah.
You don't have an opinion?
None. No, that's bleeding the throat.
Is that wrong?
Is that wrong
as well, a human to just not like...
Look, not have an opinion?
Yeah.
It's not wrong.
Well, it's very not Jewish, I can tell you that. It's very un-Jewish.
Well, we'll bring up an opinion for you, so you're not getting away from this one.
Tell me which one you think for me. What do you think my opinion would be?
I think you're probably struggling like the rest of us, because I think as South Africans, we are warm and caring people, whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we love to embrace when we meet family, we hike. I know I have friends where often I'll meet people and people say, well, bugger this, I'm sorry, I'm going to shake your hand or I'm going to hug, because that's the nature of who we are. And it's been very difficult to stifle that and to check that, because the instinct is to reach out.
Guess what?
And in many places, it's striking.
Yeah.
You're right. Also, I'm an empath just like you, Howard.
Mm-hmm.
So my spirit doesn't allow me to watch
suffering.
Someone. Yeah, it doesn't. Pain. Doesn't at all.
And it does make this year hard, because there's a limited amount that we can do. And again, I mentioned this earlier. I was at attended a funeral yesterday, and the most difficult thing for me was actually just not to hug this mourner.
Yeah,
you know, and to try and bring comfort, but it just was not a possibility.
How many hugs have you gone in for just recently without, you know? You think twice, but you do it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's
Howard as well, because it's easy to be intellectual, because if I take the case of my mom, I mean, she had to contemplate going to her sibling's, funeral in Zimkulu.
Mm.
And I was quite clear, mom, you're not going. You know, this is madness. You can't be there. And, you know, you're at this age and you have high blood pressure and, I must say, tongue in cheek, I didn't get on particularly well with the ankle, so it wasn't a big issue.
For you, it wasn't such a stress, right?
No, but when somebody asked me and said, should something happen to your brother? Then I thought, no, hell, there'd be no debate. So I find sometimes we can be very prescriptive.
Yeah.
And tell others to follow the rules when it's distant. Mm. But when it's suddenly at home, and I think COVID for many of us has touched so many of us that it changes. You know, just this last week, my mother calls me and says to me, Luba, growing up in the small town of Ellis with a neighbor, Mrs. XYZ, says, you know what? I saw her last week walking with the son, and I thought of going and greeting her, but I thought, no, let me not go hug her. And then guess what? 3 days later, my mom gets a call that this lady's passed away.
Mm.
And now my mom is saying, you know what? Maybe it was a good thing I didn't hug them. But can you imagine that world where you're almost grateful for not greeting somebody?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it's really bizarre that you consider yourself fortunate for pretending you didn't see an old friend.
It really is crazy. I'd love your thoughts on 34519 or on air at chaifm.com. It is possible that we're not getting SMSs again. It does seem to be working on and off. Luba, thank you as always for making us think. And making
hard.
Us think hard, exactly, and make us contemplate just a different way of looking at the world and at our year.